Little children playing in their fenced-in yard, and a stranger walks up to the fence to engage them in conversation. Imagine it. The stranger asks the children, "Have you ever been over into the woods to explore?" Instead of remembering their stranger danger lesson, the children engage the stranger. The children answer, "No, we haven't gone over there because our dad says the busy street is too dangerous to cross." The stranger replies, "Too dangerous? That's ridiculous. Your dad knows that the woods over there will be a bunch of fun for you, but he just can't stand the thought of you having that much fun while he has to be at work." From then on, the naive children never look at that road and the woods the same. Now there's an attraction. What's the main thing that happened in that story? The stranger brought into doubt Dad's real intention towards his own children, Dad's heart for them. Dad knows with all his life experience that accidents happen when kids try to cross busy roads. The prohibition against walking over to the woods has everything to do with protecting the kids from that danger. In order to start thinking about crossing the road to explore the woods, the kids have to start believing that their father has ulterior motives. He's holding back something good from them. Their dad isn't really looking out for their best, after all. The stranger succeeded in planting a seed of doubt regarding Dad's heart towards his own children. Pretty wicked. That's exactly what's going on in our Genesis chapter 3 reading about the fall of Adam and Eve. The serpent calls into question God's motives towards Adam and Eve, calls into question God's goodness, God's heart. When Eve says God told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they would die, the devil says to her that that's a lie. Rather, God knows that when you eat it, you will become like God yourselves, knowing good and evil, having amazing wisdom. The devil is essentially saying God is holding back something wonderful from Adam and Eve. In order to accept the lie of the serpent, Adam and Eve have to believe that there's something in God's heart holding back his goodness from them. If Lent is the time to turn away from sin, then Lent is certainly a time to become more convinced of the goodness of our Heavenly Father towards us. Because with every sin we commit, there is at least a little bit of the lie that God is holding back on us. If we choose to live by His commandments, if we choose to live according to His design for us, it's because He has been so good to us. To choose to break His commandments, to sin against our own nature, or to harm others, every sin reveals a lack in our appreciation of God's goodness. Look at the devil's desert temptations against Jesus. They also start out by putting God's goodness to the test. That's what's implied when the devil says, "If you are the Son of God." The implication is that Jesus has to prove His Father's goodness towards Him, keeping Jesus from hitting the ground if He throws Himself from a high point, or giving Jesus miraculous bread from stones. But Jesus knows better. He is perfectly one with His Heavenly Father. He has no need to put that goodness on show for the devil. Back to us, knowing our Heavenly Father's goodness. God has already shown it to us in the most powerful way, sending His Son Jesus to die for us. There is no way to doubt how much your Heavenly Father loves you, how good He is towards you. For God, in His great goodness, to reach out to us in our weakness and sinfulness, that's what you call mercy. And it should be a huge spiritual theme for each one of us in this parish of divine mercy. The Father has shown us His mercy by reaching out to us in His goodness. Please consider for Lent, praying the prayers of the Divine Mercy Chaplet on the back of the prayer cards in your pew. Ideally, we pray these at 3 o'clock, which is the hour that Jesus asked St. Faustina to remember his passion, which caused the outpouring of God's mercy. Jesus asked St. Faustina to have people venerate the image on the front of that card, and then he gave her the prayers of the Divine Mercy Chaplet on the back of the card. We can't go wrong spending some of our Lenten effort deepening our understanding and appreciation of God's mercy. Here are St. Faustina's own words of prayer to God about mankind in an abyss of misery because of all of its troubles, calling out to God's mercy and goodness. St. Faustina, O greatly merciful God, infinite goodness, today all mankind calls out from the abyss of its misery to your mercy, to your compassion, O God. And it is with a mighty voice of misery that it cries out, Gracious God, do not reject the prayer of this earth's exiles. O Lord, goodness beyond our understanding, who are acquainted with our misery through and through, and know that by our own power we cannot ascend to you, we implore you, fill us with your grace, and keep on increasing your mercy in us, that we may faithfully do your holy will all through our lives and at the hour of death. Let the omnipotence of your mercy shield us from the darts of our salvation's enemies, that we may, with confidence, as your children, await your final coming. Our Eucharistic Lord Jesus Christ is the Father's mercy for us. Let's receive him more profoundly today than ever before.